RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
May 6th, we're out of the bit season of May. We did Star Wars Day, we did Cinco de Mayo, we did It's Gonna Be May. I think that's all of them. We're just in for the long slog of bit season now. We'll get there. We'll get to the finish line. I'm putting an inquiry out to Zach McHugh. I would love for him to drop by today so we can firmly establish this rivalry ahead of Washington-Carolina hockey. Puck drops tonight, 7 o'clock, up in D.C., game one. The Capitals are not the favorites. Not only are the Capitals not the favorites, of the teams remaining in the NHL playoffs, the Capitals actually, and they're the one seed, I might remind you, have the worst odds to win the Stanley Cup. They're 11-1 to lift the cup. I'm not sure what we're doing here, but Carolina should be favored tonight. That's correct. But there's no way Washington has the worst chances to lift the cup. That per our guy, Grant Paulson, up in D.C. of the Grant and Danny program, which you will not hear today because they have Washington Nationals baseball going on up there in D.C. Whatever you hear, I'm sure it'll be interesting. I'm sure it will be intellectual and stimulating, just like this program, which now needs to do a little story time because I learned something yesterday about the NFL draft. NFL draft 2027 is coming to the National Mall, and the National Mall is known for presidential inaugurations, 4th of July, the Smithsonian does a big festival out there. But you can't buy the National Mall. You can't rent the National Mall out. Like, that's not really part of the deal. There are a number of rules governing what you can and can't do on the National Mall. So they will not be able to have beer sales on the mall at the NFL draft. They're going to find a way to get Bud Lights in people's hands. I'm not even a little bit worried about that. It's the NFL. Did you know why they have all these rules about what you can and can't do on the National Mall? It's because of Britney Spears and the NFL and Pepsi. Yeah. So here's the story. So 9/11 was 2001. The next year... Yeah, stick with me, Hazel.
We are off the rails.
10:32. We're off the rails. We're not going back on them either. I promise you that because I see the rest of the story here where we're headed.
All right.
The next year, the NFL did a whole because you know it was a subdued season post night. Like it wasn't like they took a week and then bounced back. The whole rest of the year was kind of somber. As was the mood in America. So the next year, the NFL, as only the NFL can do, declared, we're gonna juice the national mood. So they had, for the first time, the Thursday night kickoff game. That's what was introduced in with a big concert in Times Square with what I can only assume was the hottest musical act at the time, Bon Jovi. Bon Jovi playing in Times Square, and then the Giants opened the NFL season in the kickoff game, which is now a tradition. The team that wins the Super Bowl plays in the kickoff game on Thursday night. The second year was 2003. And so 9/11, the Twin Towers in New York, and of course the Pentagon in D.C. So I guess they will give a little love to D.C. So they booked the National Mall for a Britney Spears concert and a Redskins game to kick off the 2003 NFL season.
Wow.
You keeping up?
I'm trying.
You keeping up?
Wow.
NFL Kickoff Live 2003 from the National Mall, presented by Pepsi Vanilla, was such a disaster.
Oh no!
That Congress passed legislation to ensure nothing like it would ever happen again, this per Slate magazine. Do you know how hard it is to get Congress to pass legislation? It's really this must have done some serious damage.
Oh my goodness.
Here's what happened. It took them all week to set up, and they blocked off the whole National Mall while it was being set up, so nobody could use it all week. So everybody was a little salty about that. They put giant Pepsi cans everywhere.
Vanilla Pepsi, I'm hearing.
Vanilla Pepsi. Wow. King of the Pepsi. I assume that's the best-selling Pepsi now.
Surely.
Just fast forward 20 years. So many. Why do they have to introduce a new one every year? I don't know. Do you remember Crystal Pepsi? It's probably a little outside of your range.
I don't.
It was clear Pepsi. Mm-mm. Didn't stick. The Final Four I was at with UVA, Coke's the big Final Four sponsor, they were introducing orange vanilla Coke. And literally everywhere you went, like not media, but everybody, they were just handing out cans of it everywhere. There were hundreds of thousands of cans of orange vanilla Coke. And finally on like day two, I'm like, I'm trying it. And I didn't try it again. I'm not a Coke guy to start with. Maybe you're a big orange vanilla Coke fan. I don't know. They got the freestyle machine now. You just make it however you want to make it. Why do we have new soft drinks? I don't know. But Pepsi Vanilla took over the National Mall. So this is the Slate Magazine recap of it. This is the NFL spokesperson because this was Salute to the Troops with Britney Spears presented by Pepsi Vanilla. So I know you're struggling to understand how this went off the rails. I don't know either.
out of my mind.
The Pentagon agreed to integrate the concert into Operation Tribute to Freedom, a newly launched initiative to demonstrate public appreciation for American men and women in uniform. So here's the NFL spokesperson. I guess you could cynically look at it and say, well, the NFL is exploiting the war. We look at it differently. We bring people together. On our unofficial American holidays like the Super Bowl, we do a pretty good job of wrapping ourselves in the American flag, which I think we have our fans' permission to do. Complaints the tourists couldn't walk around the mall because of the giant tents, the signs, the Pepsi vanilla bottles that were everywhere. Pepsi paid $2.5 million. Britney Spears was there. The NFL argued that sponsors were needed to pay for a free concert. A league spokesperson told reporters that a balance had been struck between commerce and the common good. That common good apparently being a Britney Spears show introducing Pepsi Vanilla on the National Mall to kick off the NFL season.
I need a docuseries on this stat.
This is the true 30 for 30 right here. This is the 30 for 30 we need. Britney Spears was just the headliner. Good Charlotte, Mary J. Blige, and Aretha Franklin were also there as part of the concert, which had 30,000 fans in attendance. The Associated Press report the next day. I'm just reading everything from back then. Now, the Associated Press report the next day, Abraham Lincoln's view down the National Mall should not include pop singer Britney Spears gyrating at a Pepsi-sponsored concert.
No.
2 weeks after the concert, the bill was introduced and passed 92-4 in the Senate.
That's horrifically fast.
92-4. You can't get 92 of them to agree on anything. So, 24 years later, we're back.
We need Britney back to bring the country together.
We 100% need Britney there. I don't know if we need Good Charlotte there. We'll just do the Britney part. But the NFL's back on the National Mall with the NFL draft presented by Bud Light. What could possibly go wrong here? I'm curious how they're. I guess you just like set up bars like right across the street from the mall, right? Is that the move? And it's not like you don't. Here's the hottest take of all time. You don't have to have alcohol to have a sporting event. It's actually not required. We had college sporting events for many hundreds of years without any alcohol involved before we needed to raise money to pay for NIL. It's doable. But will the NFL actually do that? Because you remember the World Cup, which was in Qatar, wherever that was. They were booze-free, and it was like all the English soccer fans like, what are we going to do? Watch soccer? Unacceptable.
Ridiculous.
Come on. Try to think a little bit here.
Yeah.
What? We can't do that, asking us to watch soccer while
it's
sober.
Like half the sport.
You can't watch soccer while sober.
They're just running around.
The NFL draft. Not a sober viewing experience. Unless you're Mel Kiper eating your pumpkin pie, throwing down on the National Mall.
It's a vanilla Pepsi experience.
If we're doing the show live, still in 2 years, which I hope we are, but you never know. It's like the cartoons, the little hook comes and like pulls the guy off the stage. That'll be me someday, mid-show. What's he doing? Well, it's a sports talk show. Oh, did he talk about sports? Well, he played some Chris Russell clips, and then he talked about Britney Spears Raw. Yep! And scene. If we're still doing this in 2027, I'm going to find a vanilla Pepsi and bring it, which will be my second PepsiCo-related bit at a football event, because Jay Gruden once famously declared a game to be code red. Because they were losing, Kirk Cousins was about to be benched. It ended up being known as the "You Like That" game, but the week started with Jay Gruden declaring it was like, "Jay, do you need to win?" He's, "Oh yeah, it's code red in here." At the time, Mountain Dew had code red. So all it with the Uber commercial where it's like all football is to sell you food. It's actually a Pepsi experience is all it is. Britney's still available. She's performing in Vegas, right? She's still doing her thing? Yeah.
Feels like she could take a quick flight.
Yeah. I didn't follow that story closely. She got freed, right?
Britney is free.
Yeah. I thought that was the end of that story.
Is she okay? I don't know. But she's free.
That's not... We're not asking too many questions on that, for sure. We're not...
I only had one requirement.
We're not diving too deep into that. We'll go deep on everything with our guy Trey Wilson at 11 o'clock. Still have to hear from John Oliver about his offer to theme a major minor league baseball team. Great night in sports last night. Knicks over the Celtics, both one seeds, go down last night in the NBA. We'll take a spin around the world of sports because that's what we do here. We talk sports. It's the show. MP on the mic. We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We're always worldwide on the free Odyssey app. All right. Caps tonight, 7 o'clock, drop the puck. We're rocking the red around here, almost all of us. You're rocking red, just the wrong red. Zach McHugh, everybody.
MP?
Program director here at The Fan, noted Carolina Hurricanes fan.
Yeah, I'm a Caniac.
A Caniac.
Unabashed.
Yeah.
Proud Caniac in Caps country.
Here's what I got. If the Capitals don't win this series, I don't think anybody's going to be torn up about it. Like, you always want to win. Winning's better than losing.
Sure.
But it's kind of a house money situation. Nobody saw this coming. Like, if Carolina doesn't win this series, there will be repercussions.
Well, I think among the hardcore Canes fans, other Caniacs like myself, I think we're in the same boat as the Caps. I'll admit, I didn't have you guys being a wagon this year.
Nobody did. Nobody did.
It's when you know, JPJ, John Paul, what's his name? The second line center.
Last year...
Jean-Luc Pierre, whatever his name.
Pierre-Luc
Dubois.
Dubois, yeah.
So he's been
John,
great.
There's no John in there. That's what threw me, yeah.
But and also, Roy has been great for you guys. What
no
a pickup.
No question.
But the Hurricanes, like, next year was supposed to be our year.
Coming in at the
trade
Beauvillier, deadline.
Yeah,
they're making
quick.
Moves. They're making moves.
Yeah. We can get into other things with the lineup. But, yeah, you guys weren't expected. I mean, the goalie tandem turned out to be amazing.
Yeah.
You have that in place, and you can win a cup if you play a solid game. And they play a big, heavy puck possession game, but that's the Hurricanes, too. Major possession team. So who can control the puck? Who can possess the puck is the story of the series. And I think it comes down to goaltending, too. Freddie is our guy. You guys are going with Logan.
Yep.
I think it might come down to that. But the Hurricanes this year, for whatever reason, could not win on the road. So if you guys take care of business at home,
okay,
then I think you'll be all right. If we get one in D.C., like maybe tonight, I think the Canes will win in six.
Okay.
Because they're not going to lose at home.
They're going to win both in Raleigh.
Yes.
Is what I'm hearing here.
Yeah.
Okay. Which player on the Carolina Hurricanes am I going to hate by the end of this series?
I think you already hate Sebastian Aho.
Darn right I do.
You probably will end up hating Orlov. Love to hate him,
I mean,
maybe.
Hate
to love him.
That makes sense, yeah. You're Tom Wilson, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Because he's got skill. He's got skill.
He does.
He does.
He's got a heavy shot.
He does.
And he'll lay the boom as well. You might end up hating Jarvis because he's popular and he'll score. And you might hate Logan Stankoven.
Oh.
Get a little stank on it. Is what we say. The deuce deuce. The stanky deuce deuce. He's awesome.
The Caniacs have a thing going down there in Carolina.
Okay. Yeah, and I just found out yesterday that Netflix is going to drop a documentary on the Hurricanes in August.
Just the Hurricanes?
Just the Canes.
Was it? Wow.
I know.
The Outer Banks crew dropped by on their way home?
Know.
What happened
I think it's their social media admin is the best in the league.
Oh, okay.
And so we have a lot of young, engaged fans. But I'm going to cry when I watch that.
Yeah.
I cannot wait. And if we go deep, like if we get past the Caps, obviously I'm not looking past this series, but Florida, I mean, Florida's going to beat Toronto. I don't care if Toronto won last night. I think we can beat anybody in the West. I just don't know about Caps, and I definitely am scared of the Panthers.
Toronto did their very best to lose.
Oh my God.
After taking care of business.
That was weird what happened to Stolarz.
Yeah, it was. Yes.
I mean, out on a stretcher.
Yeah.
He was puking on the bench.
Yeah.
That was weird. I mean, he took a wicked wrister to the face.
Then took the elbow.
And the elbow was I don't see the elbow as a it didn't seem very forceful.
No, that was just wrong place, wrong time, right?
Yeah.
He was already shaken up, and then, you know, got
dropped. But as far as tonight, I hate the Caps. They're a rival. they've become a good rival. I honestly didn't like seeing Ovechkin beat Gretzky's record. I'll put that out there now. I know you guys love him. It's amazing for the game. Gretzky was a great ambassador about it. Records are made to be broken. But God, I didn't want that one to be busted.
My friend was texting me. We got to get tickets for that Carolina game because if he hadn't scored against the Islanders,
oh yeah, that's right,
it was going to be. I said he's not getting it against Carolina. Like they would have full on triple teamed him every shift.
I thought like
they weren't going to allow it to happen.
Going back, he was still like four or five away.
Yeah,
and that was when Jalen Chatfield, we call him Chattagory 5. That's when he Rick rolled or you
That's
know
a
rolled
hurricane
McMichael.
Joke.
It is. It's an. It's on Breaking Tees too. I might want to buy it.
we'll see how he does.
Yeah, yeah. That's when he got in a fight with McMichael and rolled him and could have injured him badly.
Yes.
But then you guys got revenge on that. I thought Ovi was going to sit out the Islander game on purpose because he has scored more goals against no other team than Carolina. It's like 107 points he has against the Canes. He just lights us up, and I thought that was going to be a revenge game for Ovi. I'm going to break the record against Carolina, but he didn't. He scored from his office on the power play, got one.
Yeah.
You'll have that.
That's fine. At that time of year, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's this weird thing where, like, for the last month of the season, the whole offense was like, feed him the puck, feed him the puck. Hungry hippos, he's like banging the lever over and over. And now it's the playoffs. It's like, oh, we're going to play a team game now. Like, we can't rely on that.
And they can. And all credit to Carberry, who should win the Jack Adams, hands down.
Great coach.
Second year.
Yeah.
Everybody bought in. Like, I didn't have the Caps as a buy-in team. I had them as kind of spoiled old vets. Like, I don't want to skate.
When you saw them getting wiped off the ice by the Rangers in four last year, you didn't. That's the team next year.
Right.
That's the team to watch
No, but these young kids came in.
They did.
Like Protas.
Alexi Protas, yeah.
Did he almost score 40 this year?
Yeah, the balance scoring, too, yeah.
Like, no player in the league improved more than Alexi Protas.
I mean.
But you got good young
Ryan
kids.
Leonard, the rookie, is in
Leonard.
Now. He's fun to watch. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, you guys are going to miss Farivari. Special teams will play a role in the series, too. I mean, if it's a 5-on-5 series and the Canes can stay out of the box, you know, they've got the league's best kill. Power play has been good, but your power play is scarier, obviously. So if it gets really ugly, then I don't like our chances. If we stay out of the box, our 5-on-5 game is tops in the league. We possess the puck. We forecheck like maniacs. So it's special teams, possession, and you know, if you guys can't break out, that'll be a thing for you to watch. And then
the
goaltending.
Goalies. It's always, yeah. Always the goalies.
Absolutely. Hopefully Freddie stays healthy.
Do y'all still do the bit where you like crank up the hurricane sounder?
Hurricane siren, yeah. The warning siren.
What do you call it? The siren? Is that what it is? Okay.
The siren.
Because I haven't been there in like 8 years. But when I went, it was a very nice environment. It was a ton of fun.
Loudest
there.
House. Literally.
No.
Yeah, loudest arena in the game.
Montreal was pretty loud in the last round.
Bell Center is good.
Also,
we have the loudest house because of the big lower bowl.
Oh.
Yeah.
You got a big lower bowl.
Big lower bowl. Yeah, down there in Carolina, big lower bowl.
You guys, bigger lower bowls walking around in Carolina.
I hope Keekly does a siren.
Like, is it a celebrity situation?
Yeah, okay. Petey Pablo, you know, local dignitaries,
yeah,
NFL guys. They had Evander Holyfield 1 year.
Okay.
Yeah, gets everybody fired up.
Okay, let's go.
So, yeah, that's a thing for sure.
We need a bit. We don't have a bit like that.
You don't?
We do Unleash the Fury with Tom Green in the late third.
Okay.
It's a video montage of, like, great, like, sports movie
moments.
Who does the
Eagle anymore? I know that was Kuzi's thing, but...
That's
your moniker, you
flew
know?
Flew off with him, yeah.
Somebody should do that.
Somebody needs to bring it back.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to score first, then they can bring it back.
Mm.
7 o'clock tonight.
I'm a little nervous. I got Little League practice until 7:30, so I'm like, what the hell?
Unacceptable. I had to stand for that Winnipeg game the other night. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was 1.6 seconds.
Hello.
Did you see the reaction video?
You think I'm going to
video?
Bed after
like,
that?
The St. Louis fans, they had like a reaction piece of people at home watching, and their dreams are dashed,
oh,
and they're falling all over their living rooms.
1.6 seconds. And then you got to sit through 40 minutes of over, because it was at the end of the second overtime. Ooh. What a weekend.
Look, this is going to be, as Joe Beninati says, a rock fight of a series. This Canes-Cap series.
Joe B knows what he's talking about.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
And he respects Carolina as I respect Washington. I don't like them, but I have mad respect for them.
When the series is over, we'll get in the handshake line. We'll
That's
wrap
right.
it up. Until then, it's war.
All right.
It's on.
Well, thanks for bringing me in, even though there's a lot of... screech in here and red.
We're rocking the red tonight. 7 o'clock puck drop. Zach McHugh, we're back after this. Trey Wilson joins us on the other side of the break. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
It'd be the Mike 910 The Fan 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Coming at you. You know I'm not a big NBA guy, but man, we had a sequence of events last night. Knicks slide by the Celtics late, win in overtime, and then both games had the fouling up three. I thought the Knicks did it correctly. Oklahoma City did not do it correctly. Denver slides by them, leads 1-0. Both road teams make it a series. We may have some long series in the NBA this go-round, which will be fascinating to see. Tonight, Indy and Cleveland, another one seed on the ropes, 1-0 there after their home game. You don't want to go down 2-0 in the home portion of the schedule, and then things will get started. Between the Timberwolves and the Warriors, that'll be at 9:30 tonight. So we'll keep an eye on all that for you. I tease this out of the gate. Trey, we didn't have time to talk about this with Trey. I'm sure he's got thoughts on this. We'll save that for next Tuesday. Axios reports that John Oliver wants to rebrand the Flying Squirrels, is the headline this morning. So John Oliver does Last Week Tonight. That's it's a HBO show where he takes on a topic and he goes into it this week. Minor League Baseball team names was the topic this week. And he was calling out the teams with boring names, but that was not us, to be clear. That's not us. We don't have boring team names. This is him kind of running through the premise of the argument on HBO.
Operating costs, which can be significant. So they go out of their way to try and grab people's attention, starting with eye-catching team names like the Hub City Spartan Burgers or the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp or the Modesto Nuts. Those are just the ones named after food. There's also the Richmond Flying Squirrels, the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, and the Binghamton Rumble Ponies. And incidentally, Rumble Pony sounds less like the name of a baseball team and more like Australian slang for a bike. G'day, mate. Just piddling the hick out of the old Rumble Pony. Pony right now. I'm bloody naked. The names of minor league teams have actually gotten even more creative in recent years as they discovered that a flashy reboot can really boost ticket sales.
And they've sold a lot of Flying Squirrels merchandise. Two things. Can we say bloody nickered on the radio? Is that it? Is that how it ends for us with the FCC? Nobody tell the FCC we said bloody nickered on the radio. I don't know. I don't know what the rules are there. I hope we're not syndicated in Sydney. That would be bad. Also, the thing the Flying Squirrels have never had that I didn't know they were missing until a few minutes ago is their name being said with a British accent. He really brought the cue out of squirrels there, the Flying Squirrels. The British accent really sells it. That makes it a very nice team name there. It just rolls off the tongue.
We could invite him to do a first pitch.
That's actually the move here, isn't it? Bury the hatchet with John Oliver. After these headlines about how he wants to rebrand the team, we can invite him. Throw out the first pitch. He could be on the AAA pregame show with Blaine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think that's the correct move here. Because Flying Squirrels does not need rebranding. Everybody agrees on that. We're good. Great team name. Great merchandise. I love the one-offs they do. The Ardillas Voladores, the one last year with the river and the bridge on it, that was sharp. They're good. Squirrels don't need any help. They're moving into a new park. They're going to be able to do more there. I'm excited to see what they come up with. You know, is Nutsy going to go flying around? Or are they going to like build a high wire for him? You never know. Something wild is going to happen at the new ballpark. I feel quite confident about that. But John Oliver... He says, we are willing to use all of our resources and stupidity to give one minor league baseball team a complete and total rebrand. All they have to do is email him and hand over all creative control to him and the show. Some of these teams have already gone so far. Did you see the Oysters logo recently? Did you see the controversy?
No, I haven't.
It looked like not an oyster. Yeah. They claim it was unintentional, but they kept selling it in the team store.
Yeah, there's a lot of eyes on that before you print it.
There's a lot. That's not one you sneak through. Mm-hmm. That's how sometimes like you get to the end and it's like, when somebody's like, do you see it there? Like, what? Oh, now I see it there. That's a little more, yeah, like straight out of the gate. Somebody should have caught that one. It's a wild world out there. Minor league baseball branding and team names. Our guy Steve Wino, Associated Press hockey writer, has like 80 minor league baseball team hats. He'll rotate them during training camp, new one each day.
Oh, man.
He's got all sorts of different hats. Ooh. And Parney's gotten the Squirrels hat into like famous places. Ryan Kerrigan wore one for a long time. There have been like players wear the hats, you know, end up on TV on SportsCenter. I bet we're a top 20 most recognizable minor league baseball franchise nationally. You, as referenced in the list, like you can't like name 100 minor league teams off the top here. Like the Durham Bulls are probably at or near the top, the baby Yankees. But after that, I think we're right there in that next cut of really well-named baseball teams. Of course, we air the games every night. That includes tonight, 6 o'clock. You'll hear Blaine out there in Harrisburg against the Baby Nats as the Nationals farm team. Hopefully, we can steal that from them in the next couple of years. Did I say that out loud? I did say that out loud. I want to steal the Nationals franchise from them and bring it here to Richmond for my personal enjoyment and for the good of the show. We want to talk VCU hoops before we slide over to Crosstalk. Phil Martelli was making the media rounds yesterday. We'll check in with him. Phil Martelli Jr., I think I'm going to drop the junior. I think that's my game plan. I'll run it by everybody. Because Phil Martelli was famous. This is Phil Martelli Jr., but until further notice, if I say Phil Martelli, I'm not referring to senior. I'm referring to the guy who coaches the VCU Rams. That's the plan. Back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. Empty of the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Your home for Richmond Flying Squirrels baseball. Back in action tonight. They're in Harrisburg. Squirrels are 8-19. Six game set up there in Harrisburg. Return home next week. Last week we were off on Tuesday. Did not get the chance to check in with Trey, which I, as you know, I was excited about last week because he had just come from the Cleveland Guardians game in Cleveland where he had the Fruit Loops hot dog. And I had a lot of follow-up questions and didn't get to ask them. Now, obviously, today's appearance, the Squirrels are now, they have righted the ship. Very strong weekend. We'll talk about that. But Trey, first, welcome to the program. Secondly, they put Fruit Loops on a hot dog. What was going on there?
Madness. Just madness. thanks for having me. Yeah, so I went up to watch Will Wilson's big league debut up in Cleveland. It was the thing about it. The biggest disappointment about it was that the Fruit Loops were stale, so I didn't really get a chance to give it a fair try.
No. Yeah, that's disappointing. Was there like a sauce on it or something?
No, it was
just stale Fruit Loops on a hot dog.
It was called the Slider Dog, is their specialty hot dog stand there, and it was pimento mac and cheese, bacon, and something else I can't think of right now. Plus, yeah, the Fruit Loops, which just seemed really unnecessary. The dog was good with the pimento mac and cheese. Probably would have been okay right there. The Fruit Loops just seemed, you know, some of these out of field type food items. At least they make some kind of sense. You know, this one was like the 5-year-old got left at home alone is just trying to figure it out.
What do we have out back? We've got a box of Fruit Loops. Great. Use them. Yep. That's we need something. Got to liven it up. It's Cleveland Guardians baseball. We got to do something here. That's a very nice stadium there. I've been to that one, right? A little downtown environment. It's not Camden or Pittsburgh, you know, like it's not a top five, but it's a solid baseball stadium.
Yeah, I hadn't been to that stadium in a while. I had been before many times, but I think this was the first time I'd been since they did some renovations there. Maybe about 8 years ago, something like that. It's a nice ballpark. That day was a good crowd there. I mean, the Guardians were playing against the Yankees. Wherever the Yankees go, obviously they have a built-in crowd. I think the funniest thing of the day was people, Guardians fans, chanting "overrated" at Aaron Judge. Which, if you look at the numbers that he's putting up to start this year, I don't know if he's even properly rated. He might be underrated, as much as people talk about him. But man, he's having a ridiculous start to the year. I knew he had been good, but it was just one thing to see it all on the screen there in person. I just looked at even, you know, add a week and a half to it now. He's batting .414 with 11 homers and an almost 1,300 OPS in 35 games. Yeah, I don't think we're rating him high enough.
So not overrated, those numbers? Yeah.
It's
silly.
Things that haven't ever been done.
It's absolutely silly. And you got a chance to see the baby Yanks last week come through town. Very nice weekend there. Didn't quite get the Sunday, but a little combined no-hitter into the ninth. Very nice win in extras. Strong weekend for the boys.
Yeah, we got to finally see them look like I thought that they would look for a while, starting to hit their stride some. Somerset was in town, and you know they look like Yankees. They wear the gray uniforms, the Somerset in block letters, looks just like the road New York Yankees uniforms. They have a bunch of little future Aaron Judges that are 6'7", 280 pounds, including former BCU Ram Danny Watson pitching. Spencer Jones was there, who's one of the Yankees' top prospects, and he even does the little squat down and open stance thing that Aaron Judge is doing, and hits a lot of home runs. So it's good to see the guys get a series split, had a chance for their first series win of the year on Sunday. Just couldn't quite hang on. Had that one in hand, too, leading late before Somerset scored three straight late runs. So, I've been on here a couple of times talking about they're doing all of these things that look like a good baseball team. They just haven't figured out how to win games. Now they've started to figure out how to win some games. Sunday excluded. Couldn't get that one across the finish line. But things are going well. You mentioned the perfect game bet on Sunday. Joe Whitman is one of the higher ranked prospects on this team. Second round draft pick a couple of years ago. As to be expected for a young guy in his second professional season, already being challenged, pushed up to Double A. He's had some struggles this year, and he went out there against a good Somerset lineup that likes to swing away, and he missed a ton of bats on Saturday night. He faced 15 batters, sat down all 15 batters he faced, and struck out 10, which was a new career high for him. Yeah, the Squirrels came close. I was thinking even like the second or the third inning, I was like, oh, look, he's retired six straight. Maybe we'll see a perfect game tonight, I was thinking in my head. It was the anniversary of the only perfect game that a Richmond professional baseball team has ever thrown, and that was in 1992. Pete Smith of the Richmond Braves threw a seven-inning perfect game. So I was like, oh, you got a little history on our side. Maybe we'll see this. And then I got absolutely grilled all over social media by people saying that it was my fault that they didn't finish it because we talked about it on the broadcast. And,
we're past
the broadcaster jinx.
We're past that as a society, Trey. We're past, like, because for a while, remember in ESPN, they introduced the scores on the bottom line, the ticker at the bottom of the screen, and they would flash, like, no hitter alert. Guy has a no hitter in the eighth, and people would be like legitimately mad about it. Like, how dare you say that? Like, no, we're past that as a society now. I'm happy to speak to those people, Trey.
Me too. look, I've tried it from the other side. There was a game in 2019 where the Squirrels were getting no hit in the ninth inning with two outs, and the Flying Squirrels have never been no hit in the history of the franchise. And I was like, not today. I'm pulling out the oldest trick in the book. And Jake Eisenberg was broadcasting games with me back then, and I looked at Jake and I said, Jake, did you know the Squirrels are throwing a no-hitter? And he said, the Squirrels are throwing a no-hitter. And I said, yeah, it's crazy. The other way around, Seawolves. And he said, yeah, the Seawolves are throwing a no-hitter. And he's like, y'all, that's crazy, a no-hitter. And then like two pitches later, Ryder Jones hit a single down the left field line with two outs in the ninth inning. And the guy from Erie whose mother was watching the game on MILB TV, watching our broadcast, then posted a tweet that I can't repeat, the FCC would fine you guys.
Oh, it got hot.
And yeah. So, but look, where that comes from is they call it, the jinxes about no hitters and all that is, you don't want to be sitting in the dugout if you're a player talking about it and going up to your pitcher and being like, man, you're throwing a no-hitter, and everybody's talking about it, and then it gets in the guy's head. There are some guys who prefer that. They want to sit there and talk about it. But there have been a lot of no-hitters thrown. And look, the Squirrels threw one a few years ago that I talked about, starting in about the sixth inning. and it still got there. We made it okay. The plane landed, the game finished, and the no-hitter was finalized, even though I said no-hitter probably about 20 times on the broadcast. So it is a fun part of kind of baseball lore, but it's you know, the roots of it really come from, you don't want to be down there just yapping at the guy that's pitching it. As long as he's not listening to the game, you know, between innings, as long as he's not going back to the clubhouse and throwing his headphones, or, you know, we're bringing an AirPod out to the mound while he's pitching, we should be okay.
That's the other thing that's migrated from minor league baseball to the majors is, you do the combined no-hitter, because obviously it's a developmental league and you're not going to blow out a guy's arm over a no-hitter in AA. That's now the norm in the major leagues, too. We're starting to see more of the major leagues guy will get lifted with the no-hitter, which would have been unthinkable a few years ago.
Yeah, even last year, John Michael Bertrand threw 7 perfect innings for the Squirrels, and he came out and he was mad as you could imagine. And the guy who came in walked the first guy. That's, by the way, I can think off the top of my head of 3 times since I've been here that somebody's been perfect through 6 or 7 innings, and then they've been lifted and the relievers come in and walk the first guy. It's happened every single time. So it's what happened on not to be mean to Evan Gates. He had a great game, and one of my favorite people came in to pitch out of the bullpen on Saturday. But it's just, that's what keeps happening. It's not a lot of pitchers. The Squirrels haven't had anybody throw 9 innings in a game on their own individually since I think 2015 or 16. I think it's not out of the question that we'll see it again. I think this organization philosophy, maybe it'll be different. They're starting to push guys a little bit more to go deeper into games, because that was kind of a problem. They were putting pitch count and inning limits on guys in past years, and they're throwing 4 innings every day in the minor leagues, and all of a sudden they're getting promoted to the big leagues and they're being asked to go 7, you know, when it really counts, and you just, it doesn't work well. But last year Bertrand was perfect through 7 in a game against the Bay Sox. Whitman 6 perfect this time. It's not even pitch count. A lot of times it's pitch count that people bring up, and but we call it ups. It's not just the how many actual pitches he's thrown, but it's how many times he's started and stopped. How many times he's been pitching, been hot, gone back and sat down in the dugout for 5 to 15 minutes or whatever between innings. Those also take a toll on the different things that you're worried about in the guy's arm and in body and everything. And Whitman this year he'd only had 1 start where he'd even gotten up 5 times. That was his very first start of the year, so his body was really conditioned for 3 to 4 ups from his last few starts, and then he had already had 6 in that game. So look, he's a second round draft pick. He's one of the top ranked pitching prospects in the organization. Throwing a perfect game in the minor leagues would be great, but the Giants are hoping that he's going to have a long career in the major leagues, and they don't want to do anything to chance that.
Nor should they. We hope to see him with the Giants for a long time. Richmond Flying Squirrels baseball all week long, of course, on The Fan in Harrisburg this week. You guys are regulars up there, and then back home next week, we mentioned the Seawolves. Erie in town for a 6-game homestand starting next Tuesday. Anything else you want to highlight here going on with the Squirrels, Trey?
No, Blaine's going to have everybody covered for the next for tonight, Wednesday and Thursday. I'm actually out in Goochland County at home right now. I just taking a little semi-breather, still working, but going to go have a little portion of a summer, I guess, for a couple of nights before I go rejoin the team on Friday. So Blaine will have everybody covered. He'll be diving into this date in Richmond baseball history facts that we've been going through for this anniversary season. I'm trying to write him up some good ones. We'll pretend like they're his.
That's a team player right there. Pick up the assist along the way. We love Trey. We love Blaine. Love having the Squirrels on 910. Trey, thank you for joining us this morning. Enjoy your brief summer.
Appreciate it. We'll talk to you all later in the week. I'll talk to you on Tuesday next week as we get ready for that series against the Seawolves and reignite that rivalry that that's going to become.
Yes, it has. Looking forward to that one. We'll talk with Trey next Tuesday. Squirrels tonight, first pitch, 6 o'clock. You'll hear it right here on your home for the Richmond Flying Squirrels. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. And be on the mic. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Thanking the NFL, the league that never, ever lets us down. 100% of the time, they give us wonderful content, regardless of the time of year. Yesterday, yeah, we do a bit season show, and all of a sudden, hey, President Trump's going to talk. He's going to give the draft to D.C. Things happened. A presentation was made. Josh Harris was there. He's the owner of the Commanders. Muriel Bowser was there. She's the mayor of D.C. She looked like she did not want to be there. That's a picture that will be in people's mailboxes in D.C. when it's campaign season, and it will not be the reelect Muriel Bowser postcard that it will be on. She didn't look super happy about the situation. Josh Harris looked very happy about the situation. He's got the NFL draft in D.C. He calls Donald Trump the ultimate commander as part of the press conference. The soundbite goes viral. Our friends at the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. were on the air. You know, Chris Russell, the Rooster, who's been on this show before. We love the Rooster. Went on. This is a long clip to set this up. This is a 2-minute long clip. I think we have to play it in its entirety, though. I'm not, you know, bound by conventional wisdom that says you just play short clips on sports talk radio. Sometimes you gotta get to the bottom of something. Chris Russell went on a journey of discovery about what the term commander means as it relates to the United States president. Here is what it sounded like on the free Odyssey app. This is our sister station, the Team 980.
And I gave him the quote, and I think it was Danny or somebody. Maybe it was Toby. I think it was Toby. Toby comes over, and I was like, he said he's the ultimate commander. Like, and I'm thinking, football, like he's a commander. Like, they call everybody a commander. You know, he's a true commander. He's a commander. I guess their interpretation, or they pointed out, he's not talking about him being, like, the ultimate commander, meaning what they call the football team. He's the ultimate, I guess, per Toby, the ultimate commander-in-chief.
Yeah, it's his title.
Well, his title is commander-in-chief.
Yeah.
Not ultimate commander, or not just commander. See, if he would have said, you're the ultimate commander-in-chief, I would have been like, oh, okay, that's just a gratuitous throwaway line. That's Josh trying to play political football. But he said ultimate commander, which made me live think, oh, my God. While presenting him a team jersey with the number 47 on it.
I think it was a play on words, no? Like,
I probably was.
Yeah.
But you see how I took it?
Yeah.
Am I wrong for perhaps taking it that way?
No, I think there's some intention there, but I think it ties into the commander-in-chief title.
But I guess my point being is, it's not the commander trophy that they give away at the Army-Navy game for whoever wins it. It's the commander-in-chief trophy. Like, we don't call the president of the United States, no matter who he is, or she, potentially, the commander. We call them the commander-in-chief, right? I don't know if that's an official title, like, thing, but that's what we refer to it as. Not the ultimate commander, so I was like, whoa.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast, for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Chris Russell, that was the Team 980 yesterday. We did a lot of things there. We discovered that the president is the commander-in-chief. We rebutted that the president is the commander-in-chief. We said that maybe he could be referred to as the commander or she. You could have a female president, too. That's important to note. But I'm not sure we got to the bottom of anything. We were mad about it, but then we were kind of not mad about it, but we were mostly mad about it. That's sports talk radio right there. That's why I'm not in a big market. That's why I'm not moving the Nielsens in D.C. That's incredible sports talk radio right there. That's the good stuff. So that's Chris Russell on the Team 980 on the ultimate commander comment, which is making the rounds. Are you mad about it? Are you happy about it? Don't call me. I don't care. That's not the point here. If you want to talk about the draft, you should. You could talk about the draft that just happened. You could talk about previous drafts. I'd be happy to talk about previous drafts. You may talk about the 2017 draft. If you want to project who will go number one in 2017, you may. Let's start the NIL fund. Get Arch Manning to spend an extra year in school so he's the number one pick in D.C. That'd be fun. You can call and talk about any of those things. 833-804-0910. That's Chris Russell, man. That's a unique show. That's an acquired taste right there. Well, I'm sure the show got more normal after that, right? All right, roll the tape.
You got to drink milk, Rooster. You got to put milk up in you, man. Keep everything flowing.
Yeah.
Yeah, milk like injection fuel to your colon, man. Get at least three.
So you think he's jealous of that? About milk in my colon?
No, he thinks he know every damn thing.
Oh, okay.
So he kind of, I know he's listening too.
Mm-hmm.
He think when somebody bring an opinion up, you got a problem with it. Man, you from PG County, man. And like I say, I know you be at Chesapeake Bagel Shop a lot. And it's all the fun. It ain't about no threatening. But I'm going to give him a serious, I'll be 64 in June, 64-year-old man handshake.
I can tell you, he hangs out at a crab buffet on the weekends.
That's how you make sports talk radio right there. That's the Rooster, Chris Russell, on our sister station, the Team 980 up in Washington, D.C. Milk, it does a body good. I don't know what he was talking about. I don't want to know what he was talking about. I don't care what he's talking about. That man makes great radio. You can't not listen. You want to hear the rest of that segment, even though you have no clue what it's about. That's how you know it's good radio right there. Chris Russell on the Team 980, our sister station in D.C. yesterday, reacting to the Donald Trump comments, the Josh Harris comments to Donald Trump that he is the ultimate commander. They left him a jersey, so he's got an Eagles jersey now. He's got a Commanders jersey now. I saw on Twitter where Eagles fans are already preparing to come take over the draft in D.C. For those of you unfamiliar with this move, the Eagles fans have been coming to FedEx Field for years because the Washington ticket sales have been pretty abysmal for the last 10 years or so. That will change next year, obviously. So they'd come take over the stadium. Most famously, when they made the playoffs, they were dancing up and down in the aisles, and we were not in the playoffs. It was a low point among many low points. There were a lot of low points in that era. Baseball, the Phillies fans would bust down, take over Nats Park, which is not hard to do. There are more seats than there are people most nights at Nats Park. The thing about the draft is you cannot take over the NFL draft. It's a million people that represent all the teams. There will be Cowboys fans there. There will be Giants fans there. You're welcome to come. Enjoy the show. But you can't take it over because it's nobody's. It's not going to be this crowd that's like singing Hail to the Commanders. That's not what the draft is. It's a crowd of 32 teams worth of fans celebrating football and the draft, and that's what it will be here in 2027, as per yesterday's announcement in the Oval Office. That's kind of cool to get to go to the Oval Office. I've been a few places in D.C. I've been Rose Garden. I've been in the briefing room. Never been Oval Office, so that's kind of fun if you're Josh Harris, right? You buy the team, you're getting a stadium, you're in the Oval Office, you're getting the NFL draft. You've seen the visuals by now, I'm sure. They look cool. It'll look good on TV. And what is the NFL, if not the ultimate television show? Squirrels back in action tonight. Caps playoffs tonight. We've got a lot of ground to cover today. We're with you until noon. AWOD Radio takes over. Then it's a Tuesday morning. We'll get to all that. Trey Wilson joins us for Tuesdays with Trey. We did not talk to Trey last week, and so we have several important unanswered questions for Trey Wilson. We will ask those questions. We will receive those answers. That will happen at 11 o'clock today, right here. Right now, though, it's time to take a break. We will return after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Never a bad time to talk college basketball. Middle of the summer. Great time to talk college basketball. I'll be here before we know it. Going to be a strange year because we've had coaching transitions before. I think we all know how to weather a coaching transition around here. That's not of surprise to anybody. But it's this combination of, like, every other coach got a honeymoon year. And in a weird way, Phil Martelli Jr.'s success on the recruiting trail and in the portal, and that everybody else is in the portal too, means I think expectations are going to be really high right out of the gate. Phil Martelli was on John Rothstein's radio program yesterday, which is also a podcast, which is also a TV show. They do it all, unlike us. We don't do it all. We're just two of the three. Someday we'll get syndicated. Monumental can put us on after the Junkies. I guess it would just be this. It'd just be us sitting here talking. We'll figure it out. We got time to figure it out. Phil Martelli Jr., VCU basketball coach, chatting with John Rothstein. Here it is.
Phil, final thing. We've obviously seen more and more the focus be on programs and power conferences in this climate of college athletics, but there are a certain number of programs, Gonzaga, St. Mary's, VCU, Memphis, who stand out outside, you know, the power conference structure. Obviously throw San Diego State in there as well. How do you keep VCU elite in this current climate?
Well, we have to continue to win. We have to continue to put ourselves on the biggest stages, you know, and not shy from that, you know, and whatever that looks like. If it's, say, you know, there's an opportunity to play on national TV against, you know, one of the best teams in the country, yeah, we're there. You know, and doing those things, again, continuing to recruit at a high level, but continuing to put yourself out there, you know, in those situations, and then continuing to win, you know, like that. Every school you mentioned wins. They go to the NCAA tournament year after year after year. So that's something that we have to make sure that is a staple, you know, and it's not just a, well, they were good 5 years ago, and then, you know, no, we have to be, you know, continuously good and be consistent with that.
That's tough, but he understands. He understands the criteria, which will be applied this year, right? You've got a tough environment for the AD as well. Ed McLaughlin's got to keep raising money every year, keep this NIL beast fed. Got to keep the seats full at the Siegel Center. They're still rebuilding that fan base, the live fan base, in a large way post-COVID. Y'all remember how hopping it was, and it got there a few times this year. But it didn't get there every night, and that's nobody's fault. You know, there were societal things that were way outside of everybody's control. There was a friggin' water crisis in the middle of the season this year that cost them a game of being able to do that. There's a lot of things that just didn't bounce their way. When it's hopping, though, it's the best. It's a ton of fun, and it's about building towards more of those moments, more of those environments. But those happen against good teams. And also, you got to win those games because people don't enjoy coming out to games when the team doesn't win. So the job is a tough one. I love that willingness to go fight, to go play, to go travel, to play anybody as scheduling gets harder and harder, as we see so many of the power conferences go to 18 and discuss 20-game conference schedules and increasingly box everybody else out. And then you got the NIL tournament at the start of the year, so people are withdrawing from Atlantis, withdrawing from Maui, pulling their way out of those tournaments, which creates fewer opportunities for the mid-majors. VCU's lucky. They've got a great brand when they're on TV, people are more likely to watch than if it's a generic school because of the brand, because you know you're going to get a good basketball game. But increasingly, it's not just that. It's more than that. And he also, he addressed the A-10. So let's play this clip, too. This is John Rothstein chatting with Phil Martelli, VCU basketball coach. And I don't think anybody would tell you they're happy with where the A-10 ended up last season. What to do about it is an entirely different question.
Well, that brings me now to my next point, because the Atlantic 10 just 11 years ago had six teams in the NCAA tournament, and 12 years ago in 2013 they had five teams in the NCAA tournament. But the league now has struggled and has had to scratch and claw to get multiple teams in the NCAA tournament. You know, there's a good chance if VCU did not win the Atlantic 10 tournament title game that it would have missed the NCAA tournament. How in this climate does the Atlantic 10 get fixed?
Yeah, I that's a great question. I think it's one that a lot of people have been trying to answer over the years, these last couple of years. I don't know how the league as a whole gets fixed. I just know from our perspective that we have to do everything in our power. One, we have to recruit a certain, you know, certain level to make sure that we have a chance to have an at-large if we don't win the league. And we have to schedule that way and have to know the formula and go through it. And we have, in painstaking fashion, we've broken down everything. And they had done this prior to me getting here, so that, you know, we just have added to going through and figuring out, okay, the teams like us that have gotten, you know, those at-larges, what did they do? What are the things we can do? Okay, who fits in these different buckets? And try to schedule that way, you know, to make sure that we're there, you know, and it comes down to having a good enough team and then, you know, putting yourself in that position. And I think they've done a pretty decent job of that here, and that's something that we want to try and continue to do.
You got so many factors outside of your control. That's Phil Martelli. He's the new VCU basketball coach. Excited to see his team this fall. But VCU internally has done everything right in terms of building the team, building the apparatus, building everything for them to be successful. So it's frustrating when you have external things slowing you down as well. And those can be as simple as Dayton had a bad year and that was weird. And those could be as long as, or as deep as, the A-10 just hasn't done a great job marketing its product, which is tough, you know, because you watch and you say they should be keeping up with the Mountain West. I think that's a fair comparable to judge their success comparable to the Mountain West, and it's not close. The Mountain West has had much better success at the ratings in the tournament, in the net ratings, and that to me is the apples to apples comparison. You're watching one sprint ahead and you're watching the other one languish. And there are no easy answers on what to do or what not to do, but these are important issues that need to be figured out systemically in college basketball, but specifically within the A-10 and within the group of schools that are going to be competitive this year, and that we know are going to be competitive this year, and that take basketball very seriously. Your St. Bonaventures of the world, your St. Joe's of the world, that, you know, may not have the best team year in and year out, but dang if they're not a passionate fan base and taking this very seriously. Loyola Chicago. Dayton has a good team year in and year out. They got a weird year coming there with Anthony Grant. George Washington's going to be good this year. You always have that one that pops up. Richmond a couple of years ago, I think it's going to be George Washington this year. And so is a conference being ready for that? How do you get them the opportunities they need to get the wins to get into the tournament? George Mason last year did not get enough quality opportunities. Wells didn't know George Mason was going to be good last year. That's part of the thing. It all wraps in together. Love hearing from Phil Martelli. Love seeing what he's done in the transfer portal, where he built a whole team in a couple weeks. That's how everybody does it now. It doesn't make it any less impressive of a magic trick when we see it happen. Very cool to see Phil Martelli out there making the rounds, representing VCU. Feels natural. Feels like a good fit. I think, you know, Havoc was exciting. Havoc was full court press. Havoc was a fun style to watch. This isn't going to be Havoc. Everybody's kind of put their own spin on it. We migrated away from that. But I think the VCU crowds will appreciate tough, hard-nosed play, which I think Phil Martelli will bring to the Siegel Center. I think they will appreciate how tough these guys are and how hard they play night in and night out. We'll be excited to bring them to you all fall long, of course, and into the winter and hopefully into March and maybe someday again into April, because that was pretty fun that one time that we did that. We'll step aside back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.